Hello, hello, OdaFest podcast listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of the OdaFest podcast. I'm Nancy, and I'm here with Jay and Angelo.
Hello, hello.
We're
here to talk about anime.
Because it's the preview episode.
The OdaFest podcast.
Before we get into that, I know we're so excited. We have some news and announcements. Do you have what it takes? The voice of an angel? Does your singing make babies sleep and make stone cold hearts cry in a good way? It's OdaFactor, OdaFest's singing competition. The application form is now open. Sign up closes on May 1st at odafest.com/odafactor.
And we have some guest announcements for you. You're unbelievably lovable, unreasonably wholesome, extremely loud dog dad. It's Papa Mutt, a variety VTuber on Twitch who is known for his chaotic, high-energy streams, where he does media nights known as Cinemut, which includes ghost hunting, cursed models for other streamers, frog and dog collabs, react content, wine mom cooking streams, mead making, and more. Find Papa Mutt at OdaFest for his meet and greet or the Frog and Dog panel. Check him out on twitch.tv/Papa Mutt.
And that's not the only guest we have. We have a fairy who is a bundle of whimsy and chaos. Welcome to OdaFest 2026, Froggy Lock. Froggy Lock is a VTuber on Twitch who streams variety, covers songs, and art streams. Froggy is a skilled indie V artist who even painted and rigged her own model. Find her at twitch.tv/froggylock.
Do you have stuff? And lots of it? Feeling an itch to get some spring cleaning done? Do you really need that cosplay accessory you've never worn? Ready to channel your inner Marie Kondo? Well, we've got something you can do about all that stuff. And for a good cause. Donate to the OdaFest auction and support the Canadian Cancer Society. Submit your donations for the auction here at odafest.com/auction. If you would prefer to donate money just because, please check out fundraisemyway.cancer.ca/campaigns/odafest-2026.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
We are so close to OdaFest, and it's wild
how
fast
it's
coming up.
The announcement train never stops.
It's
honestly,
a month and a half.
This is like the hypest time of the year.
Oh, my God. I'm not
it's
ready.
It's going to be a good time.
I'm not ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready for all of our guests, all of our cool peeps, all of our cool content.
I'm just Jay. I'll be here. I'll be at OdaFest. It'll be a good time.
And this is the Anime Spring 2026 season preview episode.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Only bangers. The banger train also continues.
The winter season was actually fantastic. It was difficult to keep up with everything that was good. There was a lot of stuff. And somehow, spring is actually shaping up to be just as good. Anime might be blessed right now.
We're living in a golden era. Don't jinx this.
The golden era, for what it's worth, also feels like an era of years past, just to be clear. And we'll make it exactly
clear.
We'll
get into why.
What we chose. We have our five series. We have, who wants to start us off? Actually,
I will. All right. This is one that I've been really excited for. So I've been waiting for it since long before it showed up as a next season preview. So Hongari Boshi no Atelier, The Witch Hat Atelier by Bug Films. It is an adventure, drama, and fantasy. In a world where everyone takes wonders like magic spells and dragons for granted, Coco is a girl with a simple dream. She wants to be a witch. But everybody knows magicians are born, not made. And Coco was not born with a gift for magic. Resigned to her unmagical life, Coco is about to give up on her dream to become a witch until the day she meets Kifrei, a mysterious traveling magician. After secretly seeing Kifrei perform magic in a way she's never seen before, Coco soon learns what everybody knows might not be the truth and discovers that her magical dream may not be as far away as it may seem.
Imagine gatekeeping magic.
They are literally gatekeeping magic, from what I can tell, for good reason.
Yeah.
Apparently, if just everybody has access to magic, bad things might happen.
That's the vibes
that I'm getting.
Sure. There's a responsibility to having power, as a once Spider-Man comic has imbued in all of us.
As once Spider-Man uncle has imbued.
True. As always, we watch the trailers for every episode we pick, and the trailer is it's very beautiful, this art. It's very Ghibli
so
coded. It is what I thought was like, if that mushroom witch anime,
Champignon
that's exactly,
this
yeah,
is
that's
what I
everything.
Wanted it to be.
Yeah,
this is what
everything
I wanted,
we wanted it to be, to like what 100%. It looks like, how the characters feel. Instead, in that one, we got some poor witch lady who is surrounded by the worst familiars possible.
Lamb chop.
Well, hold on. We don't know if our main girl's friends, if Coco's friends, are going to be the worst friends possible. It's entirely.
I don't think they will be.
Within the realm of possibility.
They introduced. So in this trailer, it was kind of interesting. They kind of gave you a quick splash screen introduction of each like main cast. They seem pretty chill. One of them, I noticed, they're like, in order to have good magic, you must have good food. And I was like, all right, sure. I'm down for that. That sounds like, that immensely already sounds like better than any of the familiars that the Mushroom Witch had. So,
right.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe you've got a good point.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I did get like classmate vibes. I'm guessing that a whole bunch of them were taken on as apprentices together because they each have a slightly different philosophy on how they treat magic. And it's like, that's cute. You know, you've got like a class full of different personalities and probably some form of friendly rivalry, maybe good bases for friendships, perhaps.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Perhaps. I don't know. I'm actually really excited for this one. I think this is going to be one of the ones that I'm absolutely following week by week.
Yeah.
Because I've been hearing for years about how good the Witch Hatatelier manga has been.
Yeah, me too.
It is insane how much hype there is for this anime. And
I've somehow managed to avoid spoilers.
I have almost no spoilers for it. I'm going in blind.
Same. And I'm so excited to do so. People who know me know that I don't like to know anything about shows before I start watching them. Even surface level, you know, teaser descriptions like this are about as much as I may possibly want, because we all know that the marketing material is very different from the actual show itself. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think I was expecting the trailer to be a little bit darker, given the premise of the world. But
there have been a few different trailers. I've watched one or two trailers, and the trailer that we just watched was completely different.
It was so cute.
One of you
this trailer
mentioned,
was adorable.
Was it you, Nancy, where you're like, it sort of has Attack on Titan vibes from the beginning,
kind of.
Like the few. Attack on Titan is probably one of the more recent things I've partially watched, at least, and I understand where you're coming from, because like there's that sort of camaraderie building and character sort of establishment before shit goes like off the
really
fucking
sideways.
Rails.
Yeah,
it's sort of a formula that I want to say kind of has some roots with Madoka, right?
Yeah.
You have this idea where it's
oof.
like I mean, Madoka kind of took it to the extreme. I don't know if I'll follow this show, but if, and I don't know anything about the manga, you know, what else is new for me? But it feels like you want to do, they're going to do that thing where they start off again, yeah, with the apprenticeship and the learning, and then there's going to be like a bit of the enemy introduction, and then it still kind of retains the camaraderie and whatever, but then there's going to be like the betrayal and the plot twist and the big bad overarching, you know, thing. And that's fine. I think it'll be good. But I hope it's not as predictable as I'm laying it out, because that's kind of, it's a thing. It's a trope.
We're going to see. We're going to see.
I don't expect this to be as nice vibes and relaxing stuff as something like Free Ren was. I actually do expect it to go a little bit more dark.
I fully do. Because the premise of the world allows for way too many consequences and things to not take advantage of that piece of storytelling.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just me guessing. Who knows? I know nothing about this show, and none of you are telling me anything about it before I get to watch.
Exactly. But the trailer for Niwatori Fighter, Rooster Fighter, I think it gave us everything we needed to know. And I'm kind of here for it.
Do you think this is going to be... Okay, go for it. Let's talk about it after.
So, Studio Sons again, an action comedy adventure supernatural anime. Keiji, the neighborhood cock of the walk, is more than just an ordinary rooster. He's humanity's greatest defender. His opponents may be 10 stories tall, but nothing is bigger than his stout heart and his fearsome battle cry. Ko-ke-ko-ko!
I saw this on any chart. I had to pick it immediately. I know nothing about it, but I knew I had to pick it.
So I watched the trailer. I watched the trailer, and I went immediately. I was like, this has to be one of those, like, 5 or 10 minute episode shows. It has to be. And then when he does his like his DBZ power up moment and he screams his little battle cry, it did not sound and it did not clue in that immediate moment. But now that I see it spelled out, that actually is just the crow of a rooster first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it really absolutely is. They know exactly what they're doing.
That is amazing.
Episode durations are going to be 23 minutes, by the way.
Actual full-length episodes?
These are fully
fleshed.
This is a
full-length
thing.
These are fully chicken-fleshed anime.
My God.
I hadn't heard anything about this until maybe 2 weeks ago. And then suddenly, multiple of the guys from Trash Taste, like Gart and Joey, independently, are talking about how, oh my god, Niwatori Fighter is getting an anime? This is the best thing I've ever seen!
This is hilarious. Look at the... I just, in our Discord, I just posted the promo shot for the main character, Keiji. Just look at that breast meat, is all I'm saying.
That chicken don't have titty. That chicken got pecs.
That's a thing I didn't hear. I didn't think I would hear Jay say.
Check out those breasts.
I am very excited for this in the weirdest way. I am going to say it's 3D CG, and it's not the most gorgeous 3D CG. It looks like you're watching like PlayStation 3, maybe PlayStation 4 cutscenes. But it's cel-shaded in a way that's like actually very satisfying.
It also reminds me, it's from itself.
You know what I mean?
It's a little bit of like if JoJo was a cockfighting anime.
Yeah.
Okay. I see there's where you're going.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's. I am always a proponent that for anything that you watch, like there's enough drama stuff, there's some stuff that's very like serious, there's some very like intense stuff, you need fun things in your rotation. I don't care what your favorite genre is.
You need a palate cleanser.
Yes, yeah. Some mind bleach, as it were.
It's true.
Niwatori is way up there for that. I have high expectations. I'm very much looking forward to doing the review for this as well.
Me too.
Same.
Another one I thought that was interesting that I've added to our repertoire for this episode. We have Liar Game by Madhouse. It's drama. It's psychological. Wishing she would live up to the ideal, Kanzaki Nao's father named her thusly for honesty. Nao has more than lived up to her father's wishes, even exceeding them and earning the label of a foolishly honest girl. This makes Nao the least qualified candidate for the high-stakes liar game, where winning requires deceiving the opponent out of their money and losing means receiving massive debt. However, that doesn't stop a box containing 100 million yen in cash and a card informing her of her participation in the game from arriving at her doorstep. Nor does it stop her from being promptly tricked out of the entire sum of money. Upon hearing that a genius swindler responsible for the bankruptcy of a major corporation is being released from jail, Nao goes to the swindler, Shinichi Akiyama, to enlist his help. With that, the two are drawn into the dark, greed-filled and deceptive world of the liar game.
So I'm really, really here for the premise of this.
The premise has promise.
The premise has a lot of promise. And I was like, oh, liar game. Madhouse? Psychological drama? And then I watched the trailer and I'm just kind of sitting here being like,
that was very mid.
This looks like a really basic anime that would have come out in like 2003.
It's even drawn that way.
Yes. It has Paprika vibes.
It doesn't look impressive. You know what I mean?
And granted, we've been spoiled by a lot of really good animation in the last 3 years.
We really have. Mm-hmm. We're coming off of a season where Sentenced to Be a Hero and Fate Strange Fake just aired. We watched Witch Hat Atelier trailer right before this. Like, we have been giving a wealth of sakuga, you know? So psychological drama anime aren't really always about crazy visuals or flashy styles. So this still could be really, really, really good. But I don't know. I'm just looking at it and I'm judging. I feel unfair. I feel like I'm really unfair to it. But I'm just sitting here being like, Madhouse, what are you doing?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I'm being unnecessarily harsh and judgmental. And at the same time, did they deliberately set that trailer up to be that way?
Could be.
Maybe the trailer was the real liar game the whole time.
The trailer just wasn't giving, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. And, like, at the end of the day, we, as a lot of people know, when it comes to any media, there's usually two or three trailers and, you know, different sources for things. We just kind of use whatever is immediately available and we only watch one trailer. We're not watching, you know, trailer tease number three and exclusive release number four. We're only going off of one thing and we always have. That's how we've always done it. And we don't want to overexpose ourselves. It could be that there is way more to it. I agree that the visual style is not as appealing as a lot of things we've seen. But I don't think that's, I think that's part of it in that it's not trying to give you, it's trying not to overpromise in its own way. Like I think it doesn't want to distract you from like the core of its storytelling. Sometimes the art is part of the storytelling and sometimes, well, art is always part of the storytelling. Let's put it that way. But the kind of story is that it's trying to tell is, you know, going to be expressed in this way. I think it'll be good, but I'm also somebody who liked things like Paranoia Agent.
Paranoia Agent had a very compelling art style.
It was different.
To be fair, it was very different. And
yes, that's not, but it's also an art style not for everybody.
I get you.
Like, you're right that it's compelling, but it's certainly not a show or an art style or a direction that's for everybody. I tend to like these kinds of things. I think I might enjoy it, but we'll see how this, you know, preview goes once we watch the first episode and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay if it's not for everybody.
Yeah. Not all media is for everybody.
There will be people who won't like Niratori Fighter. And that's crazy. But there are people who exist.
They're allowed to be wrong. They're allowed to be incorrect.
But speaking of not knowing a whole lot about something and just diving straight in, Yomi no Tsugai, Demons of the Shadow Realm. No, not that Shadow Realm. Not that Shadow Realm.
Yugi Boy!
It is a Bones film.
I banish
film.
You to this Shadow Realm!
This one's by Studio Bones Film, and I don't know if they're a sub
they are affiliated with
of
Bones.
Yeah. Okay. So if that gives you any indication, this will be an action, adventure, comedy, and fantasy show. In a remote mountain village, under the watchful eyes of two stone guardians, the young Yuru contentedly lives off the land while staying close to the only family he has left, Asa, his precious twin sister. Asa, meanwhile, carries out a mysterious duty on behalf of the village while locked in a cage. Why is Asa a prisoner? And what other secrets does Yuru's otherwise idyllic home hide?
So this? If you want to talk about an opposite of Liar mm-hmm. Game, this would be it. This is it. And maybe the... So one of the reasons being, if you're not familiar, this is the artist and mangaka for Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes.
Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, Arakawa is behind this.
Yes.
The art style is immediately apparent.
This is like obviously a very like wildly... appeasing and like, you know, this style. It's extremely
Angela,
popular.
What do you mean unless you're you?
So I watched the trailer before. I actually did watch this trailer a couple weeks ago. And yes. I was blown away by like the background art. I was looking mm-hmm. at the abs on the sexy Oni lady. And
yes,
I did not even for a moment realize how Edward Elric ass looking the fucking main character is. I didn't notice that goddamn MC was literally an Elric by a different name in a different outfit. And
in a different time.
Pointed this out literally 2 minutes before we started this call for the podcast.
That's so funny.
And I was like, what are you talking about? It's by... And then I watch it and I'm like, oh, no, it's literally right there. It's the exact
Brother.
Same face.
Open your eyes.
So I didn't make this connection either. It wasn't just Angelo. It's because Jay said it while we were watching the trailers right before this episode.
It literally, look, I looked at it and I was just like, in the setting, I called it FMA Feudal Metal Alchemist, okay?
Yeah.
There's magic. It's set sort of in a... It looks a little bit more historical, maybe in the last of like the feudal age. It's hard to tell exactly. I'm not very good with that history or the exact vibe, but I'm like, the setting is less clear than like the 1940s setting of actual FMA. But, you know, this has all of that vibe. It looks really good. I can't, like, if this isn't like big like FMA is, I'll be very surprised. Just because it's going to hit all the same notes. It's going to hit like the story beat, I think, is going to be there. The character development is probably going to be there. And last but not least, the art style that people like already resonate with, there's already a nostalgia for it. You're like, there we go. Except if you're Angelo, apparently.
Yeah.
Can't see
or
it, Edward.
Apparently.
Or Nancy. Yeah.
To be fair, I have not watched Full Metal Alchemist since at least 2013 or 2014.
I haven't watched Full Metal Alchemist since at least then, too.
Like, it's been a long time. It's
been a long time.
Okay.
A very long time, exactly.
I understand. But as you stated, that motherfucking main character looks like Edward.
Elric ass motherfucking
about,
MC.
It is not even about like anyone else or any other thing. You look at the main character. If you just stop looking at that other character's abs, okay, just for a moment,
and then realize when
they switch
cool.
to abs. They switch to a direct shot in that trailer of Edward Elric's face.
I did notice it after you pointed it out.
Yeah, no, straight up, straight
but
up.
Immediately, that wasn't what I was drawn to. Okay,
that man's been copying his own art.
Honestly,
finding
the only
inspiration.
Thing,
mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can really criticize this for is that the sexy Oni lady and sexy Oni man, their horns are too small. I don't know. I like my Oni to have giant horns.
Well,
first
they
of all,
they have
maybe,
tiny pointy little nubs, and I'm
maybe
judging.
There
your
are Oni who have giant horns later.
Well, we saw Little Red Riding Hood just munching people.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, they were practically exploding.
I think
yes,
historically, Japanese demons do not have big horns.
I know.
Think about like the ogre story, like the blue ogre, red ogre story. You have your typical Japanese Oni, like you see the masks. It's always like the horns are maybe about 2 inches at most, height-wise.
I know. I'm being really
unfair. You've been corrupted by Western media. With your
Tired
expectations
them
for
giant ass horns. Make the animators struggle drawing those horns. Honestly, the animators were struggling enough with this one. Yeah. God. The horns would be the least of their worries.
Mm-hmm, possibly.
I will say another aspect of the art style that I really like. It's very much, if you've watched Full Metal Alchemist, the original series, then you watched Brotherhood, and you understood that there was like an upgrade in the art style between the two. This has Brotherhood, but in 2026 quality.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like it's very nice.
The trailer alone was gorgeous. It is so cool. Ah.
I can't remember the last series I finished, but this might be a series I at least finish a season of.
I hope so. I hope you find something you really like. And maybe that something you really like is... Meow. Meow.
Meow.
By Studio Sunrise, a drama, mystery, romance, supernatural anime. Nanoka passes through a portal into the Taisho era, where Exorcist Mao reluctantly rescues her from the jaws of a grotesque yokai. When Nanoka gets back to the present, she discovers she has some new, incredible abilities. She returns to the past, looking for answers, only to get caught up in Mao's investigation of a series of gruesome murders. As her questions about herself multiply, Nanoka learns that Mao is cursed by a cat demon named Byoki. I wonder if Byoki sounds like Mao. And so is his sword. If anyone but Mao attempts to wield it, they are doomed. But when Mao's life is in jeopardy, Nanoka picks up his blade and swings.
For what it's worth, for listeners, this was not, that past section was not edited. Angelo did not take the one time he said Mao and then apply it to every other time that Mao's name was read possibly normally. No. In the live read, during this recording, every instance of Mao was Mao'd originally and without
editing.
I'm
looking at the picture and it's got this big-ass cat on it and it's called Mao. So I have to say it okay. Like a cat would. Mao.
Just,
I have
and also to.
To get
something out of the way, this is absolutely Inuyasha coded through and through. The art style is also Inuyasha coded.
I was watching the trailer and I was like, what is this Inuyasha ass shit? What is going on? Why am I watching Inuyasha again? And then I was like, oh.
Like, I don't know, gender bent or something? I don't know.
This is Rumiko Takahashi again.
Yes.
There's no gender bending about this. No. Literally, this is girl from modern times
Yes. Goes
through portal to older Japan and meets demon boy again.
Who is cat demon instead of dog demon, by the
way. The only difference here is that instead of the Sengoku era, we're going to the Taisho era, which is like 1920s, 1930s, you know? We see streetcars and stuff.
True. This is 1920s. Yes.
And the vibe is cool.
It is cool. My God. Okay, so I'm thinking Yomi no Sugai, like the one we just talked about before, that's very Full Metal Alchemist coded. I'm hoping it steps like a little bit further beyond, you know, the FMA formula, shall we say. But this is Inuyasha.
It's okay that it's Inuyasha.
It's Inuyasha for 2026.
Which is a crazy thing to say, because we just had Yashahime a couple years ago, which was literally the daughters of Inuyasha.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
There was literally an anime a couple years ago where it was Sesshomaru's daughter meets Inuyasha's daughter meets what is his name? What is the priest name and the girl?
Moroku and Kagome?
Kagome was Inuyasha's girl.
Kaede. Inuyasha girl?
Was it Kaede?
Yeah, Kaede. I think it was Kaede.
Anyway, there was that, and it kind of sucked, not going to lie. I feel like I'm being unfair again. It just wasn't for me, you know what I mean? It really wasn't for me. It was a love letter to Inuyasha in the best way, but it felt like just nostalgia bait the entire time.
Yeah.
Now, from what I can tell, it's not going to be tied down to Inuyasha in any way. It certainly feels like the themes are there, though.
Yes, you have big sword that's cursed. You have, half human or at least human imbued with demon powers. You have isekai. Like it could. I would argue that you could at least not have made it not isekai.
Like, not going to lie, so far it feels like someone played ad libs with Inuyasha. But I'm going to put my faith in Rumiko Takahashi. Rumiko Takahashi has put out some banger stories in the past. She's the author of Urusei Yatsura. She's the author of Ranma. She came up with Inuyasha in the first place. Yep. I'm sure she's not just doing Inuyasha for a third time again.
Narrator's voice.
Well, we'll see. We'll see when we come to the review episode for like, and so it was Inuyasha for the third time again.
Yeah,
I
that's
feel
all
like
we're
going
to say.
My age is showing a little bit, because instead of saying that this is Inuyasha coded, my brain went to, oh, it's just Ranma. But no.
Well, it's because the art style is going to be the same. That's why you say Ranma, but the entire story beat is Inuyasha.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
far.
No. Like, after you guys mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I see it. But the art style 100% screams, like, the, you know, classic Ranma. And I'm not upset about that. I just hope
I love the art style.
Kids need their own Inuyasha for a new age.
Like,
okay,
it is
a
nostalgic art style, but in a charming way. Like,
and it doesn't look like they sacrificed quality for it either.
No. Like, it looks really good. I know I was ragging on Liar Game because I was like, oh my God, this looks like 2002 art style. Meanwhile, I'm over here looking at Mao being like, oh my God, it's just like I'm back in 1997, waking up at 1 a.m. with the TV on and the ending of Inuyasha is, oh my God. No, it's literally the exact same art style. But high resolution.
Bokutachiwa. Da, 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 da.
Anyway.
Oh, Jay knew exactly what I was talking about.
Brother,
Jay
I'm
was
here.
There. Jay Brother, was there.
I was in those trenches.
There are a lot of songs from Dua's Infinity that will live in my head rent-free. No matter how many years has gone by.
I did not grow up with Teletoon.
Time for me to brush up on some and do some for karaoke one night.
Oh,
you should.
Yeah, that would be so good.
The vibes would be immaculate, my dear.
Oh.
That'd be so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that this is a really good slate of previews that we've chosen.
Our hopes are high.
Yes.
And this there is without even counting all the spring season
were there,
has
were
a
there
case
other
of
stand-ups?
Sequelitis.
It
in
sure
the
does.
Best way. Like there's some heckin' slime time, there's some heckin' ReZero. There's a lot going on this season. Like, if the new anime isn't for you, check out the sequels. There's probably something there that you loved.
That's
like,
fair.
It's crazy.
Oh, can I touch on one thing?
Yeah.
And it's probably one of my okay. I feel like first of all, we have like a maybe it's a personal list. It's not a list that we've all gathered and agreed that they're like the worst previews that we've ever mentioned. While I was browsing Anichart and I saw one of the sequels, I was like, how the fuck does this have three seasons?
Oh, it's that God, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Damned
it's
vending machine isekai.
Vending machine isekai is getting season three. Aren't you
Stop
happy,
three?
Jared?
Three. Hang on. What?
Yeah, season
yeah.
three. Season
oh.
three.
I saw it. I was like,
reborn
I was
as a vending machine. I now water the dungeon.
I remember I was scrolling through Anichart, you know, again, looking for things to select for this episode. And then I see a vending machine with eyes on it. And I was just like, motherfucker.
Jay, language. Jay.
English. I saw it and I was like, I cannot believe here's how much disbelief I had. It said three seasons. I was like, I don't know how long ago we did that preview was when we first selected it. And I was like, maybe this is a different anime. I hope it's a different
sure
anime.
No,
because this is why. This is what I did.
It was
no,
the year
the
that I went to Japan because I got you a gachapon thing from
yeah.
that series.
Yeah, we did.
Every
I
year it has
had
a new season.
I'm saying, here's the thing, why I was in, this is how much disbelief I was in. So the, on Anichart, I don't know if there's a different setting for it, but the initial title is always in Japanese.
Yeah.
So it, like, I don't know what this is. It says like, Jito Hanbaiki ni something, something, blah, 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 third season. And I was like, I don't know what that is. But it looks like a vending machine with eyes. It better not be that anime. It better not be that anime. And then I copy and pasted it into the old Googler. Google told me it's that. God dang isekai. And I was like,
golly.
Jesus.
Well, it's good to know that next season, no matter what, there's something for you out there. Whatever you like.
Even if you like sentient vending machines.
You know,
and not
I remember watching
fighter.
That preview episode and trying to see how much time was left.
I watched that
can
whole
we...
season, and I decided never to watch another season again.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, though, that we can always say that there is one at the very top of that list of the worst.
X-Arm?
It's X-Arm.
X-Arm.
Yeah, we
X-Arm.
Still talk about X-Arm.
X-Arm! Can we quick,
if that's the top, can we quickly debate, is Cestus the second worst thing?
We didn't even make it through
Cestus?
The whole episode of Cestus. We actually dropped it mid-episode.
Yes, there are a few things that we have actively just been like, nah.
Yeah.
At some point, whoever was doing the screening paused it, and we all just unanimously agreed that we can stop it now.
Just like we can stop this episode of the Oda Fest podcast.
It's
See
true.
You next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.